Okay, hello, and welcome to Innovations in Education, the podcast where we explore the cutting edge of integrating technology into higher ed. My name is Kevin Hogan. I'm content director for eCampusNews.com, and I'm happy you found us here today. Joining me is Zach Perkins, CEO and founder of a company called CollegeVine, and we discuss the transformative impact of artificial intelligence on student recruitment in higher education. A recent survey released by CollegeVine reinforced a basic reality for any institution of higher learning attempting to recruit and retain potential students using traditional email marketing. Basically, it doesn't work. Over 90% of students expressed negative feelings about their experience with outreach from universities. The median student surveyed received a combined 1,300 emails and print mail pieces from colleges in the last 12 months. Yet only 13.6 reported that outreach was a strong motivator to submit an application to any of them. So in this conversation, Zach makes the case that AI-driven recruitment platforms that personalize interactions with prospective students can enhance engagement and streamline the enrollment process. Unlike traditional methods, which often rely on those general marketing, also known as spam, AI recruiters tailor their communications based on individual student interests and behaviors and offer a more personalized and effective approach. Now, again, we're talking about AI here, a nascent technology that some call the greatest thing since sliced bread. Others criticize as an immense danger to the future of society. I think what you'll find from this conversation is we can find a little happy medium in between. Have a listen. Okay, Zach, thanks very much for clicking in with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
And where are you clicking in from?
I'm actually based in Dallas.
Ah, very good. And I know, as we talked a little bit before we started recording, I was telling you a little bit about my thoughts about AI in higher ed. It's at the same time one of the most exciting technologies to kind of pervade as I've been covering this space. But at the same time, there's also a little bit, I think, a little bit of a overhype when it comes to the use of it and how it's going to be used. And I hope we can kind of dig into the weeds in that, but start off a little bit by telling us a little bit about CollegeVine and your work.
Yeah, we're really in the thick of the AI world right now. To start, I'll say that in higher ed, it seems that all the attention around AI has very much been classroom focused. How can AI help with personalized learning? How can it help facilitate better learning in different institutions? We actually sit at a very different place in AI. CollegeVine is an AI recruitment platform that uses AI to make the recruitment process better, more scaled, and more personalized for universities. What we do is we now have partnered with over 600 institutions, and we are actually building and deploying AI recruiters that go out into the world, pair one-on-one with prospective students, reach out, introduce themselves, and then personally nurture them down the funnel. It's kind of like having another team member who's assigned to managing the top of the funnel caseload and really just guide students to apply and enroll. So we have a sort of a different lens on an AI and how it can help on the recruitment side. And that's sort of the genesis of some of the research we've been doing as well, and a lot of fascinating stuff to talk about there.
Yeah. So again, forgive my ignorance, still kind of digging into AI and what it means. But when you talk about an AI assistant, I think about the tools in the general sense when you read about ChatGPT and use those things, you can build your own kind of LLM in certain instances where you can be using your own content and your own information to help you start to pick and kind of be an Alexa, really, right? I mean, is it very much different than that?
I think a lot of AI right now that's deployed has been very similar to an enhanced ChatGPT. You take a basic sort of chat interface, you train it a little bit more on some extra data, and it can help with maybe making a workflow better or answering a question. What we actually think the future of AI is actually giving AI a little bit more agency, allowing it to operate in the world. So think of the AI recruiters that we're building as a custom AI model for the school that actually has access to send emails, can send text messages, can even call students. It operates like a person that's paired with all those students and nurtures them down the funnel. Like to a student, they actually treat the AI kind of like a team member. They know it's an AI, but they almost build a relationship with it. And so we think that's actually the future of AI getting smarter, having more autonomy, having more agency over much more complex workflows than purely a sort of a chatbot that lives on a page. Our AIs are actually operating in the world.
And this is leaning on the institution side, not necessarily on the student side. Maybe can you dig in a little deeper there about the day-to-day use in the back office?
Yeah. So every single college has their own AI model, and they basically train an AI recruiter to operate on their behalf with students. The way you train it, it's kind of like if you hired a new team member, how would you train that person? You'd probably give them a bunch of things to read, and then you also would do some training sessions with them. And that's exactly how it works. Our partners actually just upload to their AI model their course catalog, their scholarships, their study abroad, any brochure they want, and the AI instantly reads it, ingests it, commits it to memory. And then it actually schedules interviews with the staff and asks questions about the school, asks long tail questions like, what's a Thursday night like? What do people do for fun? What are the local restaurants like? All of that goes into the model. And then the college just uploads 200,000 prospects that they want the AI to reach out to and treat. And it just starts to nurture them individually with its own journey across email, text, even phone calls. It actually will call students and talk to them like a human. It's pretty cool.
And this ties into some recent data that you've released with your current crop of folks in terms of their feedback when it comes to traditional marketing methods and recruiting. Some pretty astonishing numbers, maybe not surprising, but when you look at the numbers like 90%, that is still a little astonishing. Can you talk a little bit about your findings?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. One headline metric is that 90% of students express a negative sentiment towards generic marketing from higher ed, which is really concerning. And higher ed is supposed to be this launch pad to your future life. And I think higher ed has traditionally prided itself on building really strong relationships with their community that eventually fosters a lifelong sort of alumni membership. But the front end of that journey is really the marketing. That's how a young sophomore is going to learn about an institution. And it doesn't seem like it's working. We actually surveyed over 20,000 high school students all across the country about how they're experiencing university marketing. And as part of that, we also asked them about AI. And the results, I would say the sort of top three headlines would be students are really disappointed with traditional marketing. It feels generic. It feels spammy. They don't even really listen to it. Students want to learn more about schools earlier in the funnel. They wish they got more personalized information because they regard this as a very important decision, and they wish they had more things that were relevant to them so they could actually engage with that decision. And then finally, students almost universally were actually really excited about AI. They use AI in their daily lives, and they see it as a very natural extension of how they'll learn about a big decision in their future. So those are the top three headlines, and happy to dive into some of the data points underneath those.
But so maybe just to look at it in the big picture in terms of behavior and generational behavior and generational kind of expectation of receiving information, they're not going to be put off if that email seems that it is meant for them, right? I mean, certain people of a certain age are still a little freaked out when, you know, they go into Google and type in their trip to London and all of a sudden they're starting to get stuff about London, right? They still kind of, it's not something that they feel comfortable with. But on the other hand, I mean, I have three beta testers here that just went through the college recruitment process. And I know that those spams immediately, you know, the cold calls just went right into the junk file. They want to have stuff personalized, right?
It's become an expectation. Students expect now that everything they do, whether it's choosing what show to watch on Netflix, whether it's choosing what to read on Reddit, whether it's choosing who to, you know, send Snapchats, they expect everything to be personalized to them. And the college process, which is such a big decision for them, is definitely no exception.
And so how, if you can get a little bit more precise, maybe kind of run us through an example of Johnny A, who is out there and is in one of those lists and at the top of the funnel. How does your assistant break it down to where they are getting more precise direction to a particular institution?
Yeah, and maybe it will be helpful, Kevin, as I can maybe compare and contrast what happens today and what we actually even saw from the survey and how we see that really shifting with our partners. So today, the average student is getting 1,300 emails a year from colleges. So I'm a sophomore, I've just taken the PSAT maybe, I'm thinking about my future, and then 1,300 emails are going to appear over the next 12 months.
Right.
Well, that email, feels kind of spammy. About 68% of students describe actually as just spam. They don't know how they got on the list. They don't know why they're receiving that.
Yep.
We talked about 90% of students have a negative sentiment against those emails, and fewer than 15% of students say that any kind of the marketing outreach they get motivates them one way or another to apply. That usually happens when they visit campus. All of the marketing stuff is just noise. And what we observe is that students don't actually get to make any sort of real human connection with a school until they apply and are admitted. And part of the reason for that is, you know, higher ed has a big staffing problem right now. It's very hard to fill these roles. There's a lot of turnover in admissions offices. And so most admissions officers don't really work with students one-on-one until they've already applied and been admitted. And so if I'm a student, I have this very sort of generic stream of email content for you know, an entire year maybe. And then only if I take that step to apply and get admitted do I then sort of make that human contact. And that's where, I mean, students report universally. They love the touch points of the admissions officers. There's a lot of value there. And so what we're really focused on is how can we bring that personal sentiment you get when you're working with an admissions officer, how can we bring that up in the funnel? Because there's a lot of students that are probably self-selecting out of great institutions just because they never realized that school could be a good fit. They didn't get to the point where they applied, and the email certainly didn't push them over the fence. And so in our world, what we do with our partners is when we actually train your AI recruiter and have it deployed against your population, it's running two different workflows on students. First, it actually is designing and sending out all of the marketing emails to those students. And it's using a machine learning model to figure out, based on this student and what they're doing, what are they most interested in next? And how can I actually design a new email that's going to drive them down the funnel? So for example, if the AI learns this student is interested in study abroad and wants to be an accounting major and cares a lot about internship support, that student's going to get personalized emails calling out all of those things with custom calls to action that push the student to engage with those different programs at the school. And we see that performs dramatically better than sort of the sort of standard monthly email that goes out to all of the students. That's the first thing the AI does. But then the second thing, and this is where, you know, we get really into the future here, the AI reaches out as itself, as like a counselor, saying, hey, Kevin, I've been assigned to help you on your admissions journey. I'm an AI that works with the team at Knox College. I noticed you're interested in study abroad. I just wanted to see if you had any questions about that. I'm happy to answer that whenever you'd like. And that will go out to the student over email, over text. And as a student, I can respond to that. I can respond at 10 o'clock at night in Spanish. And the AI is going to actually start to engage with me there. And I start to build a relationship with it over time. And as we're learning about that student, what they care about, of course, it will change the email marketing journey they're getting. So let's go back to your example of Johnny. The experience is actually there's a human touch point from day one that is available to me, a human-like touch point, let's call it. And as I interact with that, it's actually making sure the content I'm getting along the way is exactly what I care about. And we think that's just a fundamentally better way to engage. And by the time the student applies, now that's when the admissions team can really focus on them. And they've really learned so much more about the school. It creates a great relationship to start.
Can you talk about, is there a tier approach? So when you have, you're doing the recruitment and it's still a cold email, right? From a list, from wherever you've got it. Now that student has responded to whatever that cold was, and maybe have they already gone into the portal? Have they already kind of submitted the information themselves to where they get this second level of assistance?
Great question. So at all times, our AI model is aware of where the student is in the funnel. And so we think about the funnel really in four key stages. At the highest level stage is exactly what you mentioned. It's called that a cold prospect, just a sort of a name that the school is interested in recruiting. The next stage is what we call an engaged student. Many institutions might call that an inquiry. Then we get into an applicant, and then we get to an enrollment. And so depending on where the student is in that funnel, the AI actually treats them very differently. When you're a cold name at the top of the funnel, the AI is actually pretty careful about how it engages with you. It wants to make sure it's not annoying you. It wants to make sure it's reaching you in the right cadence. And it's trying just to spark that interest. That's really the goal. How can we show something really cool we think the student's going to care about? How can we just ask a question to you, Kevin, just to get you to respond? We get you to just say that you're interested a little bit more in study abroad. That alone, we just pulled you down into an engagement layer. And then from there, the AI starts to treat a lot more one-on-one and start to push you to apply. So it is variable based on where you are in that funnel, but we know where that student is in the funnel. We sync right to your CRM. So the AI is going to operate differently, just like a good counselor would. A good counselor working with 100 students is going to treat students at the top of the funnel a little bit different than a student that they just admitted that week.
Right. And I know, again, just having gone through this experience, there's always this kind of idea from the student side that it's important to interact with the institution to express interest, if that's a place that you really want to attend and be further. Is that a myth, or is that something that you see that is something that actually occurs? I mean, are they assessing those interactions as part of the admission process?
Look, I mean, I think institutions always want to know that their prospective class is excited about them, is going to be a vibrant member of campus. And I think it's sort of, you know, impossible to not feel really excited about a candidate that's just been super engaged all the way through. I'm sure there's varying degrees to which that actually changes the admissions decision for the student. But it's certainly true that students want to be engaged with schools that they care about. And the barrier to engage right now, I think, is actually too high. If I haven't applied yet, I can go and visit campus. I can try to meet someone at a college fair, but I don't really have that personalized contact. It's just not available to me. I like to think that we're lowering the barrier for students that are sort of moderately interested to take that next step, because they can do it at 2 a.m. in any language they want. I mean, our AI recruiters speak 30 languages. They're available 24/7. They never get tired. They're super personalized. Lowering that barrier, I think, creates space for someone to take that next step. And if that ultimately results in a college just getting more interest in the funnel of a student that is really, you know, going to be a great member of campus, I think that's a big win for everyone.
And it seems to me it's another example too, that when students who are prospects, which are potential customers to an institution, see sophisticated technologies being put in place in the recruitment process, is just another example of maybe looking at the institution itself as something that is sophisticated and modern and forward-looking. Talk a little bit more about the process. So, I mean, you have the list, you send it out. I mean, are you offering assessments of these? I mean, talk a little bit more about the data that is being given back to the institution. Are there dashboards? Are there pie charts? How does that work?
Great question. So today, most institutions actually work with an outside service firm on running their marketing journeys. Partly that's because there's just so many things for admissions staff members to work on, that also overseeing all the email journeys, all the mail journeys, has actually been quite hard to add to the plate. And so today, most institutions already work with an outside firm that basically reports on the efficacy of their marketing efforts. But typically that takes the form of, we're going to go and design sort of 20 emails that we're going to run across the cycle, and we're going to report on open rates and click rates and just keep you informed. We take that foundation and really take it to the next level with the AI recruiter, because very similarly, we actually take the place of running those marketing journeys for students. In fact, the AI is designing custom emails and even mailers for every student individually, not 20 for everyone, but actually maybe 20 for just that student, right? And we report back to the institution, effectively, how is your funnel progressing? How are people moving from prospect to inquiry to applicant to enrollment? How are the submetrics underneath that, like open rates, click rates, RFI form completions? How are those actually trending? And what insights can we glean from the different populations of students and how they're performing within that funnel? Because it's often that it's not just sort of one funnel. That funnel consists of differences in geography, differences in class year, differences in how involved the parent is. And our AI model is actually not only able to observe this and aggregate, but actually disaggregate the data and say, we actually aren't doing so well on the West Coast. We've got to dramatically increase our outreach there. Or, wow, we're doing excellent with sophomores right now. We're ahead of where we'd like to be. And so we report on all of this. It's like having another team member who's managing that caseload, not only the interface with the students, but also the reporting up to the supervisor on how it's going. That's really how it is perceived.
Yeah. Looking forward, or maybe it's here now, let me ask you, just in terms of when you're looking at that top of the funnel, talk about geographic things being dispersed. Do you have access to other things? Because the other top of mind, of course, for both the institution and the student is, how do I pay for this and how do I pay for this journey? So are you able to differentiate between, say, class levels or other sort of data that institutions are using to create their classes?
Great question. So the AI is fully aware of any data that the college chooses to offer it about the student. So they already know the intended major of the student, the graduation year of that student, all of that goes into how the AI treats. And what's happening behind the scenes is there's really a machine learning model that is observing all the interactions across thousands of prospective students and drawing insights about what is working well with different populations. And what that ultimately turns into is, it converges on doing the right next step with the right content, with the right experience for each subgroup of students. And we've already observed, our AI will treat a senior that's about to apply to college very, very different than a freshman from high school, because they should be having a different journey, right? It's much more aware of a student that is out of state and needs to travel a far distance to go to a school. There's a lot of communication about what that looks like versus someone that's in state from a feeder high school. And so encoding that knowledge into the AI, we don't actually explicitly encode it. It observes these patterns as it's working now with millions of students. That's where we think there's some pretty big unlocks. And I think higher ed is on the early cusp of sort of the data revolution. But I think AI is going to really accelerate that for all of higher ed.
I mean, so this is where it starts maybe to get back into, I was describing, the first cycle of AI coverage that I've done, where there was a little bit of a fear factor to it, right? It was going to take over the world and the rest. And then there was a hype cycle where it's the best thing since sliced bread, which it obviously is in a lot of examples. And then there's the reality of it. I'm starting to get a little bit of a creep factor coming back in when I think about, again, having just gone through this experience, I tie my kids' FAFSA into this? I mean, will that change the messaging in terms of affordability of a particular institution? Maybe says that, when Johnny comes up and says, well, both my parents don't make more than 70 grand, and then you can market them to free tuition. But then at the same time, I guess as the old guy, that starts to feel like a little bit of an encroachment on my data privacy. Can you talk a little bit about how do you work those steps? I mean, it starts to seem like it's a little bit of a fine line between, wow, this school really knows me, and, oh man, why does this school know so much about me?
Yeah, it's such a good question. Well, I guess first I'll call out that to us, I think the development of AI comes with a series of really important responsibility and ethics questions about how this actually operates for the good of students and universities. And a couple explicit decisions we've made to start is, our AI recruiters do not make admissions decisions. They do not make financial aid determinations. We've really walled that off. We see those as sort of distinct functions of the university. The AI recruiter really just exists to get students really jazzed about the school. That's really its main goal. Now, to do that, we want to know a lot about the student. And so that helps. But we want to make sure that we do it in a way that feels natural and not strange to the student. And we want to make sure the AI represents the school properly. So sort of the mental model that we've operated with, and the way we build it is, we ultimately think the AI is going to increase the speed with which a student gets to actually understand what that school is like, what's actually available to them. Right now, there's too many barriers, in the recruitment process related to just getting access to information, just figuring out if there even are scholarships for someone like me. We want to take the time cost of that and the people cost of that basically to zero. We want to make it so easy for a student to get that. Ultimately, though, the AI is only going to express the school in a way that adheres to its policies and what it offers. And so the AI is not able to just offer a scholarship to a student. But if that school has a great scholarship for that student, we absolutely want the AI to make that known. And so I think over time, we're going to actually see colleges, are going to care a lot more about their offerings. What do they have available to students? What's exciting? Because they're going to know that their AI can actually communicate that really effectively to the right person. And so now it's a question of, well, what do we have to offer here? And how can we be compelling to a very, very changing student population over the next decade? And I think the AI is just going to make it easier for that offering to get connected to the right audience in the right way they should hear it.
Now, it seems, you've already have a lot of traction and there's a lot of things in place, but also just in this conversation, there seems to be a lot of potential yet to come in terms of making this process better and more efficient. Talk a little bit from your perspective on what the horizon looks like. I mean, as you go forward in the next 2 or 3 years, how does your work and your technologies continue to progress?
We've built our AI recruiters off of a fairly generalized platform for launching AI agents. And that has been some of the biggest technological lifts we've made to actually build a platform that can deploy a human-like AI that can do things in the world, that has access to communications, that can build a relationship, that can work towards a more complex goal like applying and enrolling over the course of a very long period of time. Now, we're focusing that entirely on enrollment because we think enrollment is actually an existential problem right now for universities. And it's a place where there's such a lift to be had in personalization, as we saw from the survey, that it's a great place to start. But the vision for us is absolutely to help drive that experience of hyper-personalization, hyper-access, 24/7 availability across the entire institution. And some of our most innovative partners are really at the cusp of what we're doing, we're already in discussions and working with them on launching beta, let's call it AI agents that operate in student success to ensure that students are on track with classes and are, you know, really navigating and getting the most they can out of the university. We also have institutions that are in beta looking to launch AI agents to engage with alumni and keep them connected and to help facilitate fundraising and so on. So I do think that we will eventually trend towards sort of an AI assisted world. And those AIs should have the ability to be autonomous. They should be able to do complex things. And we're building the platform for that, just applied to enrollment right now. But I'm very excited about going to those other areas and eventually connecting all of that so that we have one coherent student life cycle that I think will be beneficial for everyone.
Yeah, but certainly exciting stuff, Zach. It sounds like you have a great start to some really transformative dynamics for schools. So again, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your insights with our readers and our listeners, and look forward to following your progress.
Thanks, Kevin.
And that's all we have for this episode of Innovations in Education. Be sure to head over to ecampusnews.com and subscribe to all of our episodes, as well as check out all the great content that we have up posted every day. Thanks for listening.